Glad you're here, and we are looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there should be having a handout coming your way that we'll start with first, and the subject is spiritual gifts. So here's kind of what we're going to be covering today. And so the handout is real short and brief. So if you want to put some notes on it or something, that's okay. But we're going to talk a little bit about what is a spiritual gift, who has spiritual gifts, what are some of the spiritual gifts, and you know what, specifically what are they, and then what do we do with spiritual gifts? Now we're just going to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are some other chapters that I'll mention that have to do with spiritual gifts too, but these are some of the questions we're going to try to answer this morning about spiritual gifts. So now we're going to look at what we have as kind of a talk sheet of the verses that we're going to cover this morning. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. For people at home, we have some have a handout. And if you didn't get a copy of that, I can send you one, but there's also a talk sheet that has the verses that we're going to cover. Not all the verses in the chapter, but the first verse of the chapter says this, that now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And so he wanted them to know about spiritual gifts. But if you notice, there's a little bit different font, so to speak, here at the beginning. Let's redo that. Okay. The word gifts is in what we call italics. And that in English, it's a little bit different kind of font. You notice that reads a little differently. And the reason for that is because it's a word that isn't actually in the Greek text that this translation was translated from. Because the Bible, the New Testament, was written in the Greek language, and we translated it into English, Korean, other languages. But this word, gifts, is not in the Greek text. So why did they put it in there? Well, it's just because it reads better in English. You know, it wouldn't have made sense in English. An English teacher would have said, that's bad grammar to say, now concerning spiritual, brethren, because that's like an adjective, so you need another word in there. And so they put in the word gifts, and that's probably the best word to put in there, even though it really applies to more than just gifts. There's other things about the Spirit, too, that we're going to talk about. There are things, not just gifts, but other things, too. But the main idea is gifts, spiritual gifts that we get from the Spirit of God, and so we'll talk about that a little bit. Let's read the next few verses of the chapter from 4 through, let's say verse 6. 4 through 6 we're going to read right now. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Now, a spiritual gift isn't defined here. I'm just going to go back to the handout. So what is a spiritual gift? Well, I'm just going to say that it's an ability given by the Spirit. You know, when you receive a gift, maybe if on your birthday, or some people like to give gifts at Christmas time, they give a gift. It's something you receive, isn't it? You receive a gift from someone. And so, this is an ability. We have an ability, one or more abilities that we receive from the Spirit of God. That's the gift. When a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, we know that we receive a gift, don't we? We receive the gift of eternal life. We receive the Lord Jesus too. But we receive eternal life. We know that the Lord Jesus, as we were talking about earlier this morning, has done the full requirement, has done whatever is required for us to be saved. There's nothing for us to add to that. And so we're saved. We're saved for eternity. We don't have to do anything else. He's saved us. We have the gift of eternal life. But we receive something else that maybe we didn't know about at the time that we trusted Jesus. And we receive something from the Spirit that was in addition to that. An ability that can be used to serve God and His people. That's what a spiritual gift is, an ability given by the Spirit. So what kind of abilities? So, well, we're going to talk about that a little bit here in a minute. But I think it has a little bit to do with what we see in the verses about varieties. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit here. Where there's varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There's varieties of effects, but the same God. So the word varieties means all kinds, all different kinds. You know, you see this time of year, different kinds of flowers. I hope the weather coming up on Tuesday or whenever it is, it's supposed to get cold and we're supposed to have some snow showers again. You know, I hope it doesn't mess up the plants and the trees and the flowers. But flowers, all kinds of different flowers. And even, you know, with different kinds of flowers like roses, there's lots of varieties even within those different kinds. Like, you know, there's the roses that I don't even know what they're called, but the ones that have the tight petals close together, and then you have the roses that they're kind of spread out, the petals are kind of spread out. All kinds of different roses, all kinds of varieties, and different colors. Some of them are variegated colors. There's all kinds. That's the way God made things. That's the way He made people. Every person in this room, and I can't see the people that have called in, but people that, you know, everyone's a little bit different. I see all the faces, people that I know. I know you by your face and your voice because, well, you're different. You're a distinct person from every other person. Everyone is different. God likes variety. He likes things to be different and all kinds of things. So every person is different and special, and He's given every person something special to do for Him. A special gift, a gift that He's given by His Spirit. So there's varieties. Now He says, varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then there's varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And so we have gifts that are given to us. Those are going to be, we're going to see abilities or things that we can do for Him. But varieties of ministries. Now, a lot of times when we think of a ministry, we think of someone who maybe is going into the work of the Lord full time, or maybe a missionary or someone like that. But you know, the word ministry really has to do with service and serving God. And, you know, as Thoudeau was praying this morning, it's, you know, he prayed that it's our desire that we would glorify God. And so we can serve Him. There's different ways that we can serve God. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a full-time way. It could be. But, you know, sometimes we say, well, a person is going into the ministry, maybe in a full-time way. Well, okay. But everyone has a ministry. Everyone has a way that they can serve the Lord. One or more ways that they can serve the Lord. There's different ministries, varieties of ministries. And so when we have these gifts that God has given us, abilities to serve Him, there's different ways that we can serve Him. And so sometimes it's sort of like, well, what ability has God given me? You know, maybe it's just a matter of saying, well, here's something that I can do for the Lord. Here's a ministry I can do for the Lord. And don't worry so much about whether it's related to a gift that I have, because it's a way I can serve Him. And most likely, when I serve Him, well, then that ability that God has given me will kind of show up as being, oh, well, this is a way in which I can use the gift that God has given me. And there was something else I wanted to point out here too, that just, this is a little bit on the side. But I noticed in verse 4 where it talks about varieties of gifts, it's the same Spirit. And there's varieties of ministries and the same Lord. You know, we think of the three persons of God. We have the Spirit. He's the one who's giving us the gifts. We think of the Lord Jesus. He's the one that we serve, isn't he? So it kind of goes along with the service or ministry. And then there's varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things. Could be thinking of God the Father there. So in a way, we kind of have all three persons of God involved in this giving of gifts and the spiritual gifts and the things that go along with that. That's just kind of a side note there. But there's varieties of ministries and things that we can do. You know, is there something that you see that you could do for God? And, you know, maybe that's something you can do. Or maybe you see something that just needs to be done and that's something that you can do. Don't worry so much about whether or not you have a gift. Maybe it's a ministry. Because there's a variety of ministries that God has given. Now, I realize there might be some things that certain ones of us don't have the emotional or the physical ability to actually do. You know, I mean, I'm getting older, and so there's some things that I can't do as well as I used to be able to do. But you know, and so maybe there's some things that that just need to be pointed out, that's something that needs to be done that wasn't really noticed. But if there's something you can do, that might be a ministry that God has given you to do. Maybe help junior high kids or something in some way. I don't know. Let's talk about effects. There's varieties of effects. Now, what does that word mean, effects? Well, I kind of have the idea that it's sort of like the results. I'm just going to say result. Or the outcome of something. Or really, when it comes to the work of the Lord, it's really a benefit, or the benefits of what we do. Because a lot of times when we think of results or outcomes, we think, well, they could be bad or they could be good. But you know, if we're doing something for the Lord, it's always going to be good. And if the Lord is in it, it's going to be a good thing. And so I like the idea of benefits. What comes out of the things that we do for him and the ministries that we do and the gifts that he's given us, there's different kinds of effects. The things that are going to happen might be a little bit different for different people according to the different gifts, because God likes variety. You know, sometimes we might, you know, think of a person that, you know, we see what that person does, and we can say, you know, that he really has a way with children. He can really get children engaged and get them, you know, thinking about the Lord you know, he just kind of has that, you know, he has an effect on children that does something that you can really see. Maybe some of you are parents. And I'm going to talk about a word that we see in verse 17 here. Or verse 7, rather. The word manifestation. I'll just read that verse. It says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, the word manifestation is a big English word. Let's try to break it down a little bit. Let's start with this first part of the word. That's manifest, which is a word by itself. The word manifest, it has to do with being able to show something or to see something, to show or to make known. You know, in English we might use the word demonstration. And so maybe you have children who have show and tell in school. I don't know if you had show and tell this year. Maybe it was, you know, things were very different this year. But you probably know what that means. That your child takes something to school to tell the other children about something. And they show it to them. And they say, okay, here's something that I know about and I've learned about, and it helps the other children to learn about that. You show it to them. And so it's a demonstration. You can see something from it. Or maybe you have a child who says that, you know, they see you cooking something. And they say, oh, I'd like to learn how to cook that. And you say, well, here, let me show you. And so you demonstrate. Maybe you do some of the, you know, add some of the ingredients and say, here's how you do it. Or you may let them help you do certain things. And so you show them how to cook. You know, they've seen you cook before. And they know that you're a good cook. And they know that, you know, they can see it from you. And so it's something that you see that's like a demonstration. And so it's like that. That's what a manifestation is. Something that we see the Spirit doing in a person's life. It's shown to be true. If you see if a person is really doing something for the Lord, or the Lord is in their life, they're doing some work in their life, you can see it. You can see that, oh, the Lord is doing something in that person's life. That's a manifestation. That's a demonstration or showing to be true. It may be a gift, or it may be an effect, or something, you know, result of the work, or the, you know, the ministry. Oh, you can see what that person is doing for the Lord. That's a manifestation. But here's the answer to our second question. Now look at what it says at the beginning of verse 7. To each one. So who has a gift? A spiritual gift? Well, back on the handout, who has spiritual gifts? Well, it's each one. And that means every believer. Everyone who knows the Lord is a Savior has received a spiritual gift. And so no one can say, well, I don't, you know, there's nothing I can do for the Lord. Well, yeah, there is. And there's something, some ability that God has given to let you do that. And it's also true, and let's look at this again, that it's for the common good. That means for everybody. It's something that a person does that helps everybody, and it's something we all do to help everybody out. So it's for the common good, for the whole church. And I think he's thinking specifically of the local church here, like the assembly, like Oak Ridge Bible Chapel, for example. So there's things that people do, doing the abilities that God has given them, the ministries, the things that God has given them to do. The outcomes are for the common good. That's the benefit. It's for everybody. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it, but someone cleans the building around here. And, you know, maybe it's something that's not as noticeable, because when it doesn't get cleaned, that's when you notice it more, you know, when if something happened and it didn't get done a particular week. But I appreciate that, you know, the waste baskets are emptied and the bathrooms are cleaned and, you know, vacuumed. And, you know, you can maybe see the results of that. And it's a benefit for everybody, isn't it? Now, it may not be so much of a benefit for the person who does the work. I mean, it's work. I mean, you know, they get some benefit out of it too, that the building is clean, but it's for the common good. It's for everybody. It does something that's helpful for everybody. It's a sacrifice. And it's nice to have a facility that people can come to and feel like, you know, it's reasonably safe and clean, and maybe, you know, tried to be somewhat free of germs and that kind of thing. It's for the common good. Okay. Okay, so what are some of the spiritual gifts? Now, I'm going to maybe give you a little bit of a bonus here with this one, because we're going to look at some of them that we have in this chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I'm going to point out, too, that there's some other chapters in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts. And so you might want to just be aware of those in case you want to look at some of the other ones in some of the other places. So the four chapters, the way to remember this is that there's two chapters that have the number 12 and two chapters that have the number 4. So I'm just going to jot them down for you in case you want to know. Romans chapter 12 is one of them. Now, that's kind of interesting because Craig is speaking on the book of Romans when it's his turn to speak. And he's in the middle of chapter 12, or I've started in chapter 12. And there's some other things in chapter 12 that we haven't learned about yet. And some of those things are spiritual gifts. And so maybe he's going to tell us more about that when it's his turn, talking about Romans chapter 12. I'd like to think that, you know, we planned this so that we were kind of talking about the spiritual gifts about the same time, but Craig and I aren't really that smart. You probably already knew that. But, you know, maybe it was just of the Lord. So we have Romans chapter 12 and the other one that's the chapter that we're talking about, 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to abbreviate it, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so there's other chapters too. In fact, there's a couple other chapters in 1 Corinthians that we're going to talk about that have some things to say about spiritual gifts, like chapter 13 and chapter 14. But those are maybe a little bit more the specific gifts that God has given, but more about what the gifts are in 1 Corinthians 12. So Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, the other two chapters in the New Testament are Ephesians chapter 4, I'm abbreviating Ephesians, and 1 Peter chapter 4. So if you can just remember two 12s and two 4s, it might help you to, then you just got to remember which books they are. And two of the chapters have a number 1 in front of them. So Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 12, or 4, 1 Peter 4. So those are four of the chapters. There's other chapters in the New Testament, but you'll find a lot of the material about spiritual gifts and what they are in those chapters. So let's talk a little bit about some of the gifts in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I'm going to go back to the verses that we're looking at. Verse 8 says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." I'm going to talk about both of those a little bit together, even though they're really separate gifts. But having words of wisdom and words of knowledge, or a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. You know, when we think of wisdom, we think of someone, a lot of times we think of someone who's older, you know. As I get older, I forget things, so I think I'm less smart than I was. But we do think of people who have had experiences in life. And, you know, people who are older have had some experiences and situations of how to deal with certain things in life. And so you get that experience and hopefully learn some things as you go about how to deal with things that come up in life and certain circumstances. And so people who are older, you think they're wiser because, yeah, they've had time to deal with some of these experiences in life. We think of parents being, or grandparents being wise or wiser than their children or grandchildren. And usually that's the case, but it's because they've had experience. And you who are parents, well, you have experience in raising children. That's not experience that I have. You have experience in that. So people who are wise have some experience. They can relate things about life that can be helpful to us as it relates to the Word of God. You know, here's something that I've learned, and maybe this would be a help to you. As someone who has the Word of knowledge, knowledge has more to do with, as it relates to the Word of God, explaining or helping to understand the Word of God. Now, that's maybe a little bit on the area of teaching. But sometimes there's people that just, there might be a person who just seems to have the right word to say in a particular situation. You know, whether it's the word of wisdom or word of knowledge, it's along those lines, having the right thing to say at the right time for the right situation. It made me think of a verse in the book of Proverbs, and I'll just tell you the verse. It's Proverbs 25:11. Proverbs 25:11. I wrote it down here, so I'm going to read it to you. It says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Or that would be circumstances would be at the right time or for the right situation or right situations. So sometimes there's a person that just has a word that is very helpful at the right time. That's a gift. It could be a gift from God, a word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. Now we're going to look at verse 9 here. To another, you see that there's things that are given to different people. Someone might have the word of wisdom, or another might have the word of knowledge, or another, so you see different people might have these different gifts. Another might have faith. I kind of blocked out some of the word there, didn't I? The word is faith. Now, you know, you think, well, everybody has faith, right? I mean, when we came to the Lord Jesus as a Savior, we had faith that God is going to do and did do what he said he would do in the Bible, because God is not a liar. He says the truth, and he promised that we'd have eternal life. We believe that by faith when we received the Lord Jesus. So we all have faith in something. And those of us that know Christ, we have faith in the Lord Jesus that he saved us from sin because he said he would, just as he promised. But this is going really beyond that, in that it's a special gift that some people have, that they can believe that God is going to do a certain work in their life or maybe in the life of someone else. And they have that ability and that assurance that a certain work or mission or assignment that God has given them, they're going to be able to do it. And I'm sometimes a little bit the other way. You know, I kind of point out problems, saying, well, you know, we're going to have trouble with this, or we might have trouble with that. And but there are people who are so, you know, they're so driven by, this is a work that God's given us to do, and we're going to do it, and they get it done. And I appreciate that, especially when there's people like me, you know, saying, well, I don't know about this. And, you know, we need people like that too. You know, okay, here's things we got to take care of, but people who have that faith that God is going to, you know, help me see this work through, and really that's up to, it's the Lord that's working in them to do that, but they have that gift of faith to get a work done for the Lord, a gift of faith. So that can be something beyond the faith that we all have anyway. Go ahead and get it done. The Spirit of God working in them. We have some other things here, and there's gifts of healing by the same. So another might have the gifts of healing. Now, that's kind of getting into something that's really more of a miraculous gift. Now, there are medical doctors today that are very, well, I'll say gifted with the ability to have a diagnosis, to know what's wrong with a person, to prescribe medicine or treatment for a disease or something. And so you could say, well, that doctor has a gift. Well, that's not really a miraculous gift, you know, that they can just heal a person on the spot, but they do have an ability. That's more of a natural gift of healing, if you say. Or maybe a surgeon who is, you know, very skilled at taking out some particular infirmity that a person has, or cancer or something, that surgeon has a gift. But that's a natural gift. This is talking about a miraculous gift of healing. Now, I can't say that I've really seen that happen in a miraculous way. Some people have been healed in ways that you might almost say are miraculous, but to say that I can identify a person who has the gift of healing today, I can't say that I've seen that. this gift, and some of the gifts that we see in verse 10 too, the effecting of miracles. Okay, so I'll just read verse 10. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. So these are really miraculous miracles or miraculous gifts. And these were really very common in the time of the apostles, the early church. We don't really see them much, if at all, today. Because, as we're going to learn when we get to chapter 13, at the time that the message of the gospel was going forth, there were a lot of things going on, and how could people really know if this was the truth of God or if it was God who was at work? Well, these miracles helped them to know that this was really the message of God. See, we didn't have the whole Word of God yet, and so we couldn't look at the Bible and just say, okay, here's what God says. Well, they were proclaiming the gospel, but it wasn't written down, really. Or at least all the things about what God had to tell us weren't written down yet. And so these miracles helped to prove that, oh, this is really the work of God. We can believe that this is true. Now, there were some fakes as well. Well, you know what? There's some fakes today, too. Some people who say they have a particular gift, like a gift of healing, and they pretend to heal people. And, you know, they might fool people into believing they really have that gift. But if it ever happens today, it's really, really rare. And that's because we don't really have a need for those gifts today, because we have the complete Word of God. God has given us everything that we need to know about what's going to happen and what He has to say to us has been written down. The book of Revelation at the end of the book tells us, here's everything that there is. There's nothing to add to it or take away from it. So we don't need the miracles anymore. But some of these gifts were really important at the time that this book was written. It was still being written, okay? The Bible was still being written. And so there were gifts of healing and miracles and prophecy. You know, we usually think of prophecy as telling what's going to happen in the future. And there are books of prophecy in the New Testament and things that tell us about what God is going to do in the future. But it's all complete now. Everything that God had for us to know about prophecy and what's going to happen has been written down, and it's done. And so we don't really need that gift anymore, at least in the strict sense. Now, there might be things that prophets did in the earlier times that there's still some element of that that happens today, and I'm not saying that none of these gifts apply to today, but we don't really need them anymore. We don't need somebody. If you have somebody telling you, oh, I have something that was given to me by God that's new revelation, but it's not in the Bible, don't believe it. It's not true. It's false. Because God has given us all the things that He wants us to know. So there might be elements of these gifts that are present today, but really, we don't really have a need for them. And there's a few more gifts that I'll mention that are toward the end of the chapter here too, and then I'll come back and hopefully remember to mention verse 11. So the other two verses of the chapter, I've skipped a lot of verses in the chapter, so you might want to go and read those. In fact, part of the chapter, a big part of the chapter, has to do with, everybody's a little different, but we all need each other. And so that's really important. He talks about the body, and he talks about the human body, how there's different parts of the human body. Well, the human body has all these different parts in order for the whole body to work together. And it would really be bad if one part of the body wasn't doing its job, you know? And so that's why we need everybody who's different to do the things that God has given them to do. There's no excuse for anyone saying, well, they don't really need me. I don't have to do anything. Well, yeah, we need you because you're part of the body of Christ, the local church. And so there's a lot of discussion on that that helps us to understand all these things. All the gifts are important because God gave variety. He likes variety. He wants people to be involved and to do what they've been given to do and to exercise their gift. But here's a couple of the verses toward the end of the chapter that tell us about a few more gifts. And I'll read verses 27 and 28. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Now, you notice there's a few gifts mentioned here in verse 28, and he has that, first of all, in terms of people who have those gifts. You know, you might say, well, there's apostles, and they're mentioned first. And then he says second, prophets. And then third are teachers. So we have the people that have these gifts. So there were apostles. And, well, we don't really have apostles today in the sense that we had apostles back in the time of the early church, you know, like the 12 apostles. There were 11 plus Paul, and there were others who could be considered apostles too. They saw the Lord Jesus alive after he rose from the dead. And there were miracles that showed that they were special messengers of God. The word apostle really means messenger. So there's messengers today, but not in the sense of those early apostles in the early church who saw the Lord alive, who were shown to be the ones that carry the message of the gospel forth first. We don't have those kinds of apostles today. But then we're prophets. You notice there's kind of an order here. So it started with the apostles, and then there were prophets. And the prophets were second. And the ones who were telling the word of God before it was complete and telling about things in the future. Prophets were really different from apostles, but there were some. You know, there were some apostles. Well, you could say like John, for example. Well, he was an apostle, but you could say he was also a prophet, right? Because he wrote down what the Lord showed him in the revelation. And Paul, too. Had some books of that were telling about the future, that were revelation that God gave directly to him. And even Peter, you could say, well, there's another one that had some things that he wrote about in his epistles about the things that are going to happen in the future and so forth. So there's a little bit of overlap. But there were some prophets who weren't apostles telling the future and telling the things that were happening and other things that they did to help the people. Teachers. Now that's something that we have today. Okay? And now that we have the complete Word of God, there's nothing to add to it, we still have the need to have it explained. And hopefully we're doing that in a way that's really according to what the Word of God says and explaining it in the way that God would have us to explain it so that it's understood what God is telling us. I mean, the best way to really understand the Word of God is just to read it. But sometimes there's things that are helpful that, as, you know, as we're learning the Word of God, I mean, this is something I need to have it explained to me. And so those are things that we have today. We have teachers today. Now that we don't need the apostles and prophets, we still need teachers. But then there's these other things that are, you know, miracles that we talked about. Gifts of healing, okay, those are some of the miraculous. Oh, no, wait a minute, here's some other things. Helps and administrations. Now, those are things that are true today. I mean, just about anybody can help with something, but there's some people that have a special gift of helps to help or to assist with a project or something that's happening. Administrations, that has to do with the people who can oversee or be in charge of a project, and they can kind of get people together and lead. the administrations. But then the one that's at the end, there's the various kinds of tongues. And I think it's not a coincidence that that one is mentioned last, because we're going to learn maybe the next time we're in the book that, you know, the Corinthians really thought that the gift of tongues, and I'll explain that next time a little better, that, you know, it had to do with speaking in languages that were not known to the person that was speaking them. That was a miracle to be able to do that. And that happened during the time of the apostles. They thought that gift was so important, they thought everybody should have that gift. Well, as we're learning here, not everybody has the same gift, okay? So Paul probably mentions that one last to say, you know, look, there's other gifts that are important. And in fact, with the early church, it was first the apostles, then the prophets, then the teachers. And yeah, these other gifts are important too, but that's what we start with. There's kind of an order to things. Now, I want to go back to verse 11 here, just so we understand that it's the one and the same Spirit. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. And the first thing that I want to point out here again is this thing, to each one. Because he's given a gift to every person, every believer in the Lord Jesus. And it's something that he's done individually just as he wills. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one who decides who has what gifts. And, you know, we might think, well, I'd rather have this gift. And, you know, there's some gifts that aren't as glamorous, but there's things that we can do. And it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that passes out the gifts and decides who has what. And so we can leave that up to God in the Spirit. Now, I think we need to quickly answer the last question on our handout here. What do we do with spiritual gifts? Well, if you look back at verse 7 again. It's for the common good, right? It's for serving one another and for serving each other, and for serving the Lord, but for the common good, for serving one another. And I'm going to just jot down a verse reference for you. Again, this is kind of a bonus because it's not from this chapter, but it does have to do with what we're talking about. And it's from one of these other chapters on spiritual gifts. It's 1 Peter chapter 4. And it's verse 10. Now, you can look this up for me because I may not get it right, but I'm going to try to quote what the verse says. It says this, as each one, there's that key again that every person has a spiritual gift, as each one has received a special gift, employ it. That means put it to work. Let God use it, employ it. Give it the things to do. Employ it in serving one another. See, that's what we're supposed to do. We serve one another. We serve the Lord too. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I won't try to explain all the rest of that verse, but it's the idea that it's the right thing to do for what we're doing for one another and for the Lord too. So that's what we do with our spiritual gifts, and we're probably going to learn more about that in the weeks ahead as we study the other chapters that have to, some of the other chapters that have to do with spiritual gifts. All right, let's pray.